this morning to turn to the book of John, chapter 20. Book of John, chapter 20. I'd like to read verses 11 through verse 28. John, chapter 20, verses 11 through verse 28. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher, or outside the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, and the other at the foot, or at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they, that is, these two angels, say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou had borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that she had spoken, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, and my God. These verses are post-resurrection verses. That simply means that what we have read here takes place after. Jesus Christ arose victoriously from death and the tomb. We see here God's people, those who have been saved by the grace of God, those who had a love for God in their heart and a desire for Christ in their heart. We see three examples of these individuals, the saved, in a state of darkness, in a state of despondency, in a state of sadness and sorrow and misery. The first incident takes place in the very morning that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rose a victor over sin, death, and the grave. The second example takes place on that same evening, the same evening that Christ arose from the grave. And the third example takes place a week from, the following week, after Christ had risen. What we have in these three verses, are three pictures. Three pictures of gloom. And in each example, Jesus appears and he turns the gloom into gladness. In each of these examples, we see Jesus actually enters into the shadow, enters into the shadows of the gloom, enters into the shadows of downheartedness, enters into the shadows of hopelessness and defeat. And in each case, he brings gladness, he brings delight, he brings cheer, and he brings courage. So today we want to consider these three examples, and then we want to make some application to ourselves. We want to speak on the subject this morning of Jesus turns the gloom into gladness. First of all, consider the case of Mary Magdalene. We read of her in our text in verses 11 through verse 18. We see that she came to the grave there in Matthew, in John 20 and verse 1. We read in Luke chapter 8, if we turn there, Luke chapter 8, concerning Mary Magdalene. Get a bit of her history. In Luke 8, verse 2, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. So this Mary Magdalene that we read of in John chapter 20, there was a time in her life where she had seven demons cast out of her. That is, there was a time in her life when Jesus saved her soul. She had seven demons. That means there was a time when she was possessed and controlled by the powers of hell. But she had been rescued. She had been set free. She had been released and liberated from the bondage, from the enslavement, from the imprisonment, from the servitude, from the oppression, from the dominion of the powers of hell. Seven demons had been cast out of her. During that time, no doubt she lived in the degradation of the powers of hell. She had been torn by the powers of hell. But we see Jesus cast these demons out. In other words, this woman had been spared. This woman had been spared by the power and grace of the Lord. This woman's life was changed by the power and grace of the Lord. Jesus Christ had made a difference in her life. And now we see her. She had a love for Christ. She had a tenderness toward Jesus Christ. She now has an attachment to Jesus Christ. She was absolutely captivated by Jesus Christ. She had a very deep interest in Jesus Christ. She had a desire. She had a yearning. She had a passion for Christ. She had a gratitude toward Jesus Christ. She manifested this change in her life by ministering to Jesus Christ. Notice again in Luke chapter 8, verse 2, we see that Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. And then there are these other women who had evil spirits cast out as well. But then notice verse 3. And Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Mary Magdalene had seven demons cast out of her, and she manifested her change, the change that had taken place in her life. She manifested her love and her desire for the Lord by ministering unto him of her substance. This is how she now lived her life. We see this woman in John chapter 19. We see her love for the Lord. In John 19 and verse 25, Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. There at the cross stood Mary Magdalene. We see in John 20 and verse 1, the first day of the week cometh, Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. We see her at the cross. Now we see her at the tomb of Jesus Christ. As soon we learn from Matthew's account that Mary Magdalene came with other women as well. But as they were approaching the tomb from a distance, Mary saw that the stone had been taken away. And immediately she ran to tell the disciples, to tell specifically Peter and John. They have taken away the Lord, verse 2 of John 20, out of the sepulcher. And we know not where they have laid him. Again, you remember those other women? They're still at the sepulcher, and the angel speaks unto them. But I believe Mary saw, this is the only way it fits, Mary from a distance saw that stone rolled away, and immediately she ran before even arriving at the tomb to speak the message that we read of here in John 20 in verse 2. As a result, Peter and John came to the tomb. No doubt, Mary returned as well. Peter and John looked within that empty tomb. We read that here in verses 5 through 7. And then we are told in verse 10, then the disciples went away again unto their own home. The disciples, Peter and John, looked into that tomb. They saw what the other women saw, but Mary has not seen yet, Mary Magdalene. And these disciples went home. But Mary, she stayed there. And we read in verse 11 that she's weeping. She's sad. She's grieving. She's hurting. There is a cloud of doom hanging over her because she believes that they have stolen the body of Jesus Christ. She feels a great emptiness. And there she is, weeping. And verse 11 tells us that while she was weeping, she looked within the tomb. And she sees two angels. One at the head, one at the feet, where the body of Jesus Christ had been. And we see that there in verse 13. And notice also in verse 13, the angels said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, and you can hear the alarm, you can hear the dismay and the hysteria and the pain as she says, they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And having said that, she turns away from the tomb to head back. And when she turns away from the tomb, there's Jesus. But she doesn't know that it's Jesus. She supposes that it's the gardener. And in verse 15, Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Again, she doesn't know that it's Christ at this moment. Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him. And again, you can just hear the sorrow in her voice. You can hear the anguish. You can hear the pain. And she says, "Sir, if you know where they have put my Lord, tell me, and I will go and get him." And then in verse 16, Jesus said unto her, "Mary." And there's a period. You need to stop right there. Jesus said unto her, "Mary." He called her by name. He had done that in the past when he cast out the 7 demons. As soon as Jesus said, "Mary," she recognized him as her master. When he said, "Woman," she supposed him to be the gardener. But as soon as he said, "Mary," she recognized Jesus Christ. And then we see the result of that. She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." And at that moment, I believe she had fallen down and she was about to lay hold of Jesus Christ, and Jesus stopped her and said, "I have not yet ascended to my Father." Jesus ascended to his Father twice. Because you remember, a week later, Thomas did touch Jesus Christ. In fact, the other women, before Thomas, touched Jesus Christ. So before that happened, Jesus had to ascend. And we read of that in verse 17, but it's not my point to get off on that. But just know that Jesus ascended twice. The first time was to present the blood offering for his people. And then, of course, 40 days later, he would ascend to take his seat on the throne. In verse 18, she came to the disciples. Not in the same way that she went to them before. Before she went to them, and again, you could hear the hysteria in her voice, and she said, "They have taken away the Lord." But in verse 18, completely different. It's a different Mary. The gloom is gone. The sorrow is gone. The anguish is gone. The grief is gone. The emptiness is gone. All that has been lifted. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. She went to the disciples and said, "He's alive! He's alive! He's alive! I've seen him! He's alive! They haven't taken him away. He's alive." You see, her gloom was turned into gladness when Jesus stepped in and all he had to do was say her name. That's all he had to do, was say her name. And the gloom was gone. Consider the case of the disciples. We read in verse 19, "Then the same day at evening," that is, that same day that Jesus Christ arose a victor over sin, death, and the grave, we see the disciples, those who had been saved by the grace of God, those who knew Jesus Christ, those who had a love and a desire for Jesus Christ, those who had left all to serve Jesus Christ. They're assembled behind locked doors. Verse 19 tells us they were assembled out of fear of the Jews. That is, they were afraid. They were afraid that they were going to be the next ones crucified. And hanging over that place where these disciples are assembled was a thick cloud. a thick cloud of fear, a thick cloud of intimidation, a thick cloud of confusion. No doubt there was some panic. No doubt there was some distress. There was some worry. There was some uneasiness. There was some nervousness. There was some apprehension. That room was filled with discouragement. That room was filled with defeat. There they are. They are assembled out of fear for the Jews. And you can almost hear them saying, "What in the world has happened? What in the world has happened? I don't understand. Things were going so good. And now he's dead. And we just know that we're going to be next. This isn't the way it was supposed to be. I don't understand. I don't like this." There was a cloud hanging over that place. This wasn't a prayer meeting. They weren't there praying. They were there out of fear. They weren't singing hymns that night. They were afraid for their lives. And then we read, notice verse 19, came Jesus. Came Jesus and stood in the midst. Just as he stepped in Mary's life, Jesus steps in. He's uninvited. He's unexpected. He just came. Came Jesus and stood in the midst. He walked in. And when Jesus walks in, he interrupts the gloom. And when Jesus walked in that night, he interrupted their gloom. And he stood in the midst. I believe that means that he stood in the midst of the disciples so that they could all see him. But I believe there's even a deeper meaning than that. He not only stood in the midst of the disciples, he stood in the midst of their fear. He stood in the midst of their intimidation. He stood in the midst of their confusion. He stood in the midst of their panic, of their distress, of their worry, of their uneasiness. He stood in the midst of their discouragement and defeat. And just like with Mary, he said something. He said unto them, "Peace. Peace. Peace be unto you." And in addition to speaking in verse 20, "And when he had so said, he showed unto them, his hands and his feet." So Jesus stands in the midst and he displays himself. He reveals himself. He manifests himself. And then notice also there in verse 20, "Then were the disciples glad." Quite a difference from verse 19. "Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Those clouds of fear, those clouds of distress, those clouds of worry, those clouds of defeat, those clouds of discouragement, they've all been lifted. "And then were the disciples glad when they saw Jesus." Jesus showed up and he turned the gloom into gladness. We're told in verse 24 that Thomas was not with them that night. And then we read in verse 25, "The other disciples therefore said unto him, Thomas, we have seen the Lord." You see, their message is the same as Mary Magdalene's was to them. "Thomas,
He's alive! He's alive! We've seen him! Thomas, he's alive!
And Thomas said, I don't believe it. And I won't believe it until I see him for myself. And until I can see until I can touch his nail print hands and reach my hand into his side, I will not believe. And that brings us to the third example. We read of that in verses 26 through 28. In verse 26, and after 8 days, counting that Sunday, so it's a week later, again his disciples were within. But totally different spirit now. You note, it does not say they were within out of fear of the Jews. That cloud's been lifted. That cloud's passed. That storm's passed. Jesus changed the gloom into gladness. The disciples are there that evening with an entirely different attitude. And then it says very plainly, and Thomas with them. Now, Thomas had been saved by the grace of God. Thomas was one of those who had left all to follow Jesus Christ. He had been a faithful follower of Christ. But Thomas is there that night, and Thomas has his own issues at this point. And Thomas, he's hurting. He's somewhat disillusioned. He's discouraged. He's defeated. He's pessimistic. That is manifest from his reply to the apostles. And he's struggling. He's struggling with everything that he has learned up to this point and trying to make it fit into his life. Here's a man who needs his passion restored. Here's a man who needs his zeal restored. Here's a man who needs his commitment restored. Here's a man who needs revival. And then we read in verse 26, then came Jesus. Three times now. Three times we see Jesus stepping in. Now we're not told in verse 19, the doors were locked. They were assembled out of fear of the Jews. Jesus just appeared. I don't believe he knocked on the door. He just appeared. And I believe it was the same thing here. I don't believe he knocked on the door. He was just there. Just all of a sudden, there he is. Then came Jesus. Jesus just stepped in. And Jesus knew the heart of Thomas. And he was there for Thomas that night. He knew exactly where Thomas was spiritually. He knew exactly what Thomas needed. And he knew what he would do, and he knew what Thomas would do. Then came Jesus. He was there to help Thomas. Notice verse 27. Jesus, in verse 26, then came Jesus and he spoke to all those who were present. He said, peace be unto you. And then he turned his attention. Then he turned his attention to Thomas. He said unto Thomas, and I believe he called him by name. He said, Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Thomas, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Thomas, be not faithless. Thomas, believe. He revealed himself. He spoke to Thomas, and he revealed himself to Thomas. Is that not what he did with Mary Magdalene? Is that not what he did a week ago with the other disciples? He spoke and he revealed himself. And then we see the result in verse 28. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. All the clouds of hurt, all the clouds of gloom, all the clouds of discouragement, all the clouds of defeat, all the clouds of pessimism, they've all been lifted. And gladness now fills the heart of Thomas. Three examples of Jesus just showing up, speaking to his people, revealing himself to his people. And the result in each case was the gloom was turned to gladness. Now let's make application to ourselves. It's important to realize that in each of these cases, we're dealing with children of God. I'm not talking about the unsaved in these examples. Though what happened there can happen to the unsaved. But that's not what these are talking about. We have the children of God. We have them there with their cares, their burdens, their difficulties, their problems, with their sorrows, and their heartaches. In each case, you see the children of God living under a cloud, living under a cloud of anguish, living under a cloud of distress. In each case, you see that the children of God were somewhat confused and also disappointed. Mary, as she stood at that tomb weeping, she was disappointed. That night, the disciples met in that room, assembled in that room out of fear of the Jews. They were disappointed. Thomas was disappointed. In each case, we see God's people disappointed. In each case, we see God's people discouraged. In each case, we see God's people living in darkness, and God's people are not meant to live in darkness. In each case, we see weakness of God's people. We see defeat. We see turmoil, anxiety. In each case, you see major upheaval in the lives of these individuals. In each case, there is uncertainty. But three times, Jesus showed up. I'm glad that Jesus still shows up. Three times Jesus showed up. In each case, Jesus just stepped in. And I'm glad that Jesus still steps in. Think of all the times in your life, and where would you be had not Jesus stepped in? In each case, Jesus interrupted what was going on. Most of us don't like interruptions, but I tell you what, I'm glad when Jesus interrupts. I'm glad when Jesus shows up, when Jesus steps in and interrupts. And that's what happened. In each case, Jesus interrupted the gloom. In each case, he spoke directly to his people. In each case, he showed himself. And I'm glad. I'm glad that Jesus shows up. I'm glad that he steps in. And when he does, he speaks. And he shows himself. And in each case, in the midst of their storm, in the midst of their gloom, God's people had an awareness of his presence. And in each case, they saw clearly the person of Jesus Christ.
And in each case, they heard clearly the voice of Jesus Christ. And in each case, there was a knowing without any doubt the risen and living Christ. There was an experiencing. In each case, there was an experiencing of the reality of His power. In each case, there was fellowship with Christ. In each case, Jesus Christ exercised an influence over them. I'm glad when Jesus shows up. I'm glad when Jesus steps in and influences whatever it is that's going on. As a result of all of these things, the turmoil was lifted, and there was peace. The anguish was lifted, and there was relief. The sorrow was lifted, and there was joy. The fear was lifted, and there was courage. The discontent was lifted, and there was contentment. The sense of hopelessness had been lifted, and there was now hope. The darkness had been lifted, and there was light. The uncertainty had been lifted, and now there was certainty. The discouragement had been lifted, and now there was encouragement. The defeat had been lifted, and now there was victory. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that Jesus still comes and that Jesus still meets us where we are. I realize today that He's omnipresent, but there's special times when Jesus just shows up. And oh, what a difference. What a difference it makes. All He has to do is show up, speak, and reveal Himself. And the gloom is turned to gladness. Look at your life. Look at your life today. And thank God for all the times that Jesus just showed up. He just showed up. He was there. And you heard Him speak your name. And you recognized who He was. Oh, what a difference it makes. Go back to the day when the Lord saved your soul. There you were, dead in trespasses and sins. There you were in the prison of sin. And Jesus showed up and He spoke your name. He called your name. He calls the sheep by name. The sheep know that voice. And when He called us by name, we've never heard that before. And the gloom was turned to gladness. But that's not the only time Jesus has shown up in our lives. From that day forward, Jesus shows up. He just steps in. And we pray today. There are many, 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 many needs. What you need tonight, today, is for Jesus Christ to step in. For Jesus Christ just to show up and call you by name and wield His influence over you, causing you to see Him, causing you to realize His presence. And I guarantee you that'll turn any gloom into gladness. That will change your day. I'm telling you, that'll change your day. There's a lot of people that can come knock on my door that'll change my day, for the good or the bad. But I'm telling you, there's one who can change my day like no other. Then came Jesus. That's what we all ought to always be looking for, is for the presence of Jesus Christ. Because I promise you, He is there. Look for Him. Our problem is we're like Mary many times. We're seeking the living among the dead. We're looking in all the wrong places. Jesus is there. Look for Him. And it'll change your life. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.